didn't know where we were going this morning, talking about peace. And we've been thinking about the star this Christmas, the star which was briefly mentioned only in Matthew's account of the Christmas story, which drew wise seekers to go out and look for Jesus. And it must have led them on some rough routes. I know in our own mind about Christmas, we see pictures of wise men on camels, kind of like what's up there on Christmas cards. Anybody get a Christmas card this year with wise men on camels? Yeah? Anybody got a nativity scene at home? Yeah? I've got one. It lights up. It's got a little LED light. It's fantastic. I put it up every year. It's really wonderful. I think the family thinks I'm crazy, but I like it. It all lights up, and it's fantastic. But there's a big problem with the nativity scene. It's not theologically correct. It's not biblically correct. The wise men are there. They weren't there at the birth of Jesus. Sorry to burst your bubble. Don't tear those Christmas cards up, because there is still some truth in it. The wise men probably visited Jesus anywhere between a month and his first year of life on planet Earth. But we kind of see them coming on those camels on our Christmas cards, don't we? And we kind of think of a fantastic Airbus kind of just floating through the air and coming into land somewhere, and it's all nice, and there's, you know, drinks on the flight, and there's food, and they must have gone through some rough times. They must have gone through some really tough times. Wherever they crossed the land, the landscapes they crossed, it must have been hot at times. It must have been boiling hot at times. It must have been freezing. It must have been bitterly cold. I wonder at times if they thought, you know, the star's actually looking a little bit dim for us this morning or this evening or wherever we are right now. We can't see it. And isn't that like our Christian lives? We just think, I don't feel the hope. I don't feel the joy. I just want to feel miserable. Any Christian like that out there, believe me, I want to pray for you. Sometimes we go through life and we think, I just want to have a thoroughly miserable existence right now. I don't want to feel the hope. I don't want to feel the joy. I don't want to feel any of this. But no matter what you're going through, Jesus always calls us to live above our human experience. Because there's always a few stories going on. There's always your own personal story that's going on. We all have it. I have a personal story. I'm not going to bore you with the details this morning. You have a personal story. The world we live in also has a story about us. You're not going to like this. The devil also has a story. That's the understory. But the overstory, the higher story, is God's story. And we are always in this paradox in our lives. We are always in this kind of place where we are torn. Which story am I going to live? The Bible says he gives peace that transcends all understanding. But do we really want it? I know some people wake up in the middle of the night. And when they wake, they feel, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack. And their chest is paining and their heart is beating and the perspiration. I know it's really serious stuff. And you find yourself lying there in the middle of the night worrying about the world. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but I'm sure most of us have got that t-shirt many times. And sometimes, if we were really to be honest with ourselves, if Jesus had to come and offer us peace, which he does, we'll say, no, thank you, Lord. Let me get on with worrying myself. Let me get on with just living this below story rather than stepping out and living the higher story, the story of peace that he can give to all of us. What do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're worried about tomorrow and all the tomorrows? Say the name of Jesus. If it's the only thing you can get out of your mouth, just say the name of Jesus. You can repeat it over and over and over and over again. We sang about the name of Jesus this morning. And by the way, thank you, worship team, and Andrew and Sherry, leading us in some dynamic worship this morning. And very anointed. Bless you. He is the name above all names. He has no equal. He has no rival. In the middle of the night, when you're lying there with your heart beating and the perspiration soaking that mattress, you can say the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And He will bring you healing. He will bring you peace. Think of those early travelers, the wise men. They must have met fellow travelers, like we meet fellow Christians along the way. They must have sat in the company of some amazing people, but they also sat in the company of some deceptive people. Think of Herod. Herod just says, just come back to me, tell me where the kid is. You know, I want to give him a great present. Right. Thank God they had discernment to do God's thing. And the thing is about Jesus, He never fails us. He never falters. And the Holy Spirit gives us peace. Let me gently remind you this morning that according to the book of Galatians chapter 5, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that great? It's a fruit of the Spirit. When I think of peace, I'm often reminded of a hymn. I know that might surprise some of you. Don't all cough with shock right now. But I am really very often reminded of a hymn. And I'm reminded of a hymn which we actually sang at my grandmother's funeral. I won't bore you with the details. But I was 10 years old and my grandmother and myself really got on very well. She's an amazing person. A very good Baptist Christian who loved the Lord. But more than being a Baptist Christian, she was a Christian. Her husband, he was Pentecostal. She was Baptist. So sometimes they went to the Baptist church. Sometimes they went to a Pentecostal church. And they just loved the Lord. I call them Bapticostals. You think about that one over Christmas dinner. And I'll never forget, I was actually so upset that I ran away. My dad had to go looking for me in the neighborhood because I overheard my parents speaking about the fact that my mum's mum had passed away. They tried to cover it up, send us off to friends for the day. But I'm always hearing things, and I still always hear things. And I overheard a conversation I shouldn't have overheard, even though they spoke in code that could have confused the war effort. I figured it out. And I went running. And I took a few days. My parents said, don't go to school for the next 2 or 3 days. That wasn't even hell not going to school, although it should have been great. And I remember sobbing at the funeral. My parents didn't know whether to take me to the funeral or not. They asked our pastor, what should we do with this kid? He doesn't stop crying. I mean, for a South African male to cry is a big deal, okay? And the pastor said, take him to the funeral. God will meet with him. And while we stand with him, it is well with my soul. God met with me. And I had the peace of the Lord enter my life like never before. And the tears dried up. And I got the strength which I've had for the rest of my life. And I've been able to help people through their loss and through their experiences. I love the hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. And I remember singing that, but it is well with my soul. I love the last verse. It talks about what we've been concentrating over Advent. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Do you know the story behind it? We almost had a spoiler alert this morning. Andrew Bernardo, when he heard we were doing It Is Well With My Soul, wanted to launch in and tell the worship team the background to the song. So, spoiler alert, Andrew, please let me preach the sermon. So, yeah, it's the background, and I hope it's the same background as what you've got. And I'm sure it's the same. So, It Is Well With My Soul is written by a person by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was a businessman in Chicago in 1873, a long time ago. And after already losing one child to pneumonia, he sent his wife and 4 daughters ahead of him on a ship to Europe. While crossing the Atlantic, tragically, the ship sank, and all 4 of Horatio Spafford's children died. He got a message from his wife that she had survived, and he left on the next available ship to go out to meet her. And during his journey, near the place on the Atlantic Ocean where his 4 daughters had drowned, Spafford penned these words, "It is well with my soul." That hymn wasn't born out of good times. That hymn was born out of hardship. But through the hardship, Spafford could look at the higher story. He had a human story, and there was a lower story. The devil wanted to sink him. But he looked up to the higher story and said, "It is well with my soul." You see, my dear friends, this is it. We think peace is often the absence of hardship in our lives, the absence of trouble or of fear. But as this hymn so beautifully encapsulates, this journey of peace is not immune from all of those things. In fact, it's a very central part to all these stories. That peace is not the absence of trouble. Now this is it. If you get nothing else from my sermon this morning, please get this. That peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God. Well, I've got one amen. Many of us know Psalm 46 verse 10. We quote it quite a lot. A psalm of David, "Be still and know that I am God." What a great psalm. And we often quote this when we think of coming to worship, don't we? "Be still and know that I am God." But that's quoting it when it comes to worship is actually out of context. It's got nothing to do with the worship service. The context, if you read the verses before that and after that, is that David is proclaiming, he's proclaiming the power and security of God by saying, "Be still and know that I am God." He was proclaiming this. Why was he proclaiming this? Because he was at war, or the pagan nations, rather, were at war with Israel. The pagan nations were at war with David. There was a raging war going on. And in the midst of this raging war, God says, "Be still." Now, what does "be still" mean? Well, you've got to have a look in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew word, therefore, "be still," is comes from the word rapa, which is translated to slacken, to let down, to cease. It means to drop. It means to be weak. It means to faint. What it actually connotes is two people fighting until someone separates them. And it's only after the fighting has stopped that the warriors can acknowledge God. So what is David really saying here? In the midst of all the turmoil that life throws at us, we've got to do something. We've got to drop the wall. We've got to drop the anxiety. We've got to drop the plotting and the planning and the striving. We've got to drop our own human efforts. And we've got to allow God in, to be God in our midst. I hope that's helpful. The phrase means to stop frantic activity, to let down and be still. And Bible scholars tell us, for God's people, this word "still" would involve looking to the Lord for their help. So we're stilling ourselves from ourselves, and we're looking to the Lord for our help. And for God's enemies, Bible scholars tell us, it would mean ceasing to fight a battle they cannot win. Lay it down. Be still. Look at Psalm 46 verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Let's read, carry on reading. Verse 10 continues, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is the key point of being still. God desires to be exalted. That's why we let down our ways. We let down our human rights. We let down our perceptions. And we let God be exalted in our lives and among the nations. Friends, what are you struggling with this morning? The journey of peace is certainly an appropriate journey for us today. Just as in the ancient Roman world, and in the first Christmas of the ancient Roman world, their world, like our world, was full of violence, full of warfare, full of uncertainty. And the pressure of our daily lives comes up against us sometimes at an unparalleled pace. Ours is a desperate world for peace, just like the world Jesus was born into was a desperate world for peace. But it is the world where he is the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace walked along and along this planet of ours. And he came, and he is present, and he will come again. Very quickly, my first point this morning, that we can have peace in the midst. How do you picture the night Jesus was born? We like our Christmas carols, and I love Christmas carols. We like to sing Silent Night. I don't think it was a very silent night in that world. It would have been a chaotic time of existence. They may have had peace, but peace may have been a fleeting moment. Mary gave birth to Jesus in a cave. The city of Bethlehem was overflowing with hordes of people and tourists who had arrived. King Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And don't forget the company of angels rejoicing and worshipping with reckless abandon. Luke 2 verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Who can have the peace of the Lord? On those on whom his favor rests. Who's that? Those who have unwrapped their hearts, taken that bow off, taken that wrapping paper off, and said, "Jesus, have it all." There was noise in that world, there was hurting in that world, there was pain, there was struggle. And that was the human story. And that was the lowest story, even Herod wanting to put to death this newborn king. But the highest story said, no matter what is happening, on the people on whom God's favor rests, you can have peace through it all. Have a peaceful night's rest. Because he will be exalted among the nations. So be still. Let go of it all. Let go of your worries. Let go of your strife. Let go of our human plans and best efforts, and allow his peace in our hearts. Jesus brings peace right into the very center of our storms, and he calms the storm. He calms the storm. He calms the storm. But only on those on whom his favor rests. Sometimes God allows the storms of life to almost rock our world, because he wants to get our attention. And once he's got our attention and we've made the alignment, the peace comes in the midst. My next point this morning is Prince of Peace. The prophet Isaiah's words reveal something very important about peace. "For unto us," Isaiah 9:6, "for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." In other words, the rulership of the world, the rulership of your life is on his shoulders. So often, man, does anybody have a bag with them this morning? I've got a bag. You'll have to pretend with me, this is on the spur of the moment, pretend this is a heavy bag. And this is how many of us walk around, with the weight of the world on us. "Oh, you know what those people are saying about me? Oh, you know what my boss says about me? You know what my friends say about me? Oh, life is so hard," and it is hard. I'm not denying it. But we walk like this in our story, and where are we looking? We're looking down at the lowest story. The story that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But the government, the rulership of our lives, isn't on my shoulders, isn't on your shoulders. It's on his shoulders. Now, if they didn't have a MacBook in your throat. Is that what we're meant to do? "Lord, you take it. Oh, we can look up. The government shall be upon his shoulders. What's weighing you down this morning? It's on the shoulders of Jesus. It's on the shoulders of Jesus. You see, he is the Prince of Peace. Peace is not an airy-fairy concept. Peace isn't something that only exists when you were a child and you went to Disneyland and you saw Tinkerbell and Mickey Mouse and whoever else. I've never been, so I wouldn't know, but I'm guessing. Peace is a person, not a fairy tale. And the person, his name is Jesus. And when you allow Jesus to unwrap your heart, and when you allow Jesus in, and I'm talking to Christians, because there's plenty of Christians where Jesus hasn't penetrated. He's not in. He's on the outside. And you can say the odd Christian thing and think the odd Christian thought and come to the odd church service. I love Christmas. I love picking up visitors over time of Christmas, but we have other Sundays in the year as well. Every Sunday. Jesus isn't just about Christmas. He's here. He's for you every day. He's a person. Can I invite you this Christmas to take everything that's robbing you of your peace and put it on the shoulders of the Prince of Peace? Allow him to govern your life. I don't govern my life. Jesus governs my life. If I had to sit down now and start worrying about all the things in my life, I'm going to have a very depressed Christmas. You'll have to come and comfort me. You know, you'll have to get Kleenex to come with a whole truckload of tissues for me, because I'll just sit here and cry. I won't make it out that door. But the government of my life isn't on my shoulders. It's on Christ's shoulders. And he's the Prince of Peace. He's not just the man of peace, or the great person, or the philosopher of peace, or the guru of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Prince Harry's been in the news recently. Well, he's always in the news. But he's engaged. What's his fiance's name? Someone remind me? Yes. Meghan, that's it. Imagine how Meghan must feel this Christmas, being engaged to Prince. I know there's plenty of princes and princesses out here engaged at the moment as well, so. And if you want to get engaged, we'll pray for you. I like that scripture. It's for men. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I thank God for my good person in my life. But Jesus does far much more than a spouse. Imagine Meghan this Christmas, how she must feel. Imagine you this Christmas knowing that your life is in the hands of the Prince of Peace. And lastly, peace in the world. We looked at Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. God doesn't get exalted among the nations by the church being silent. He gets exalted among the nations by us being still, putting our will aside and allowing his voice to rise up. Wow. Isn't that awesome? I will be exalted in the earth. There's no ifs or buts or maybes, it's will. Fait accompli, it's a done deal. No one can stop God's plans. No one. God's got great plans for your life. No one can stop them. They can try, but God is in charge. Hallelujah. He's your Prince of Peace. He's my Prince of Peace. Jesus has got very broad shoulders. He could carry that cross. He can carry your pain. He can carry your hurt. He can carry your irritation. He can carry your sicknesses and diseases, your problems. Lastly, peace for the world. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, and we can abide in him. We don't know why peace doesn't always come to the world around us. We realize that our world is in a desperate need of peace. Refugees, far from home, hurting neighbors, violence on our streets, anger in families. And we continue to live in this kingdom tension of the yeah and the not yet yeah, between the past, the present, and the future. And although we experience a degree of peace, the greatest day of peace is still to come when Jesus comes back for his church. Looking forward to that day? I'm looking forward to that day. But while it is still day, we've got work to do, church. There's a world out there who needs the peace of Jesus, and we are called to take his peace into that world. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But if only the writer to the Philippians knew about my circumstances. He was in dire circumstances. You wouldn't want his circumstances. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, just in case you didn't get it, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Thanksgiving. Lord, that doesn't sound like I'm going to fire you as my counselor. Thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. We can always have a thankful heart because he's the wonderful counselor. He knows what's best for us. Wow. And the peace of God. You know, we may not be thankful about our circumstances, but be thankful to the one who's carrying us on his shoulders. It doesn't say for all things give thanks, it's in all things. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Your heart and your mind, they are linked. And that's why we need to guard it with the peace. Because when our hearts and our minds are not guarded by the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, our tongue says the wrong thing. You know that? It's a guard. We don't put a guard on our mouth. You know, you often see dogs with a guard on their mouth. God doesn't say only guard your mouth. He says guard your heart and your mind. Once our hearts and minds are guarded, we'll speak God's word. Isn't that great? So how can we speak out love, hope, joy, peace this Christmas time? And no matter what we're going through, by having our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus. Maybe this is the paradox of prayer. So often we come to God asking for him to change us. Change my circumstances, Lord. Or even better, we pray for God to change those around us. And sometimes it does, but let me tell you a bit of truth here this morning. More often, he doesn't change our circumstances, and he doesn't change those around us, but he changes us. Thank you. As we pour out our hearts and connect with him, we begin to see a little more like Jesus sees. We begin to trust a little more like he wants us to trust. We begin to settle into the goodness, settle into the peace, settle into the abundance and faithfulness of God, and we get to tap into Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, who says, no matter what's going on in your life, it's all going to be okay. All you've got to do is guard your heart. All you've got to do is guard your mind. That's your responsibility. The rest is up to him. Jesus promised when he left the earth in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. He told his disciples, I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus lived his whole life with people wanting to kill him. And he knew when you're a true follower of the Lord, you'll get people up against you. You'll get people who love you, who hate you. Jesus had it. But he gave this to his disciples. And he said, do not be afraid. Why? Because Jesus knows the end of the story. And he will be exalted among the nations. And he is coming back for his church. And he will lift you up. And he can carry your problems. And he can give you his peace if only you take that big ribbon off and unwrap that wrapping paper and say, Jesus, this heart, where everything in my life comes through, belongs to you. This mind, where everything, the center of human intelligence, for you, not for me, where it all happens, the central processing unit, mission control, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I'm guarding it. I'm guarding it. Isaiah 26:3, and I close with it. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. So peace is conditional on whom His favor rests, on whom guard their hearts and minds. And He will keep in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. That's how we can be steadfast, when we trust in Him. The government will put, the government of the world is upon His shoulders. The control of your life is upon His shoulders. It is well. Even though Satan may buffet, it is well with my soul. The team can come and sing that song, please. It is well with my soul. It's a bit later in the day than I anticipated, but I knew you would go with the flow. Look, I was going to do this in point one, but I think this is the right time to do it now. It is well with my soul. And as we sing this song, whatever you need to lay on the shoulders of Jesus, you just give it to Him right now. So we're going to sing the song, It Is Well With My Soul. I'm going to pray a prayer for everyone after that, and then we'll go out with a great carol. And